Hello, this is Michael Fanning, and I'm the host of the Windermere Coaching Minute. This is our quick form podcast where we'll talk to Windermere agents who bring creative ideas, power strategies, and successful routines to light. In each episode, we'll talk to real estate professionals to learn what they have done that have allowed them to be better than they were yesterday. Please enjoy our podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, and I am your host of the Windermere Coaching Minute. This is our weekly podcast where we talk to Windermere agents who are bringing creative ideas, power strategies, and successful routines to light. And each episode, we talk to a real estate professional to learn what they have done that allow them to be better at what they do and to get better work-life balance. And today, I'm excited to have Eric Dordahl with us. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, my pleasure. So for our listeners, Eric, I just want to give them a little background on kind of how you and I kind of started talking about having you on the podcast. But Eric and I ran into each other at an event in Spokane, which is where Eric hangs his license with the Citigroup, Windermere Citigroup. And Eric, you've been in the business 17 years, right?
Correct. Yeah, 17 years.
So you've seen a lot of different dynamics when it comes to real estate.
Yeah. Seen the markets changing. And, you know, when I got in, it was definitely, you know, the 08 sort of whatever crash, so to speak, and kind of built my business in that environment, which was honestly probably the best thing that happened to me. But so I've seen it go from there to, you know, the hyper seller markets and everything in between.
Right. And you've been with Windermere specifically in Spokane for 8 years, right?
Yes, correct.
Yep. So Eric and I were talking, and it wasn't so much Eric as it was the people standing around you that said, oh my gosh, you got to talk to Eric, because we were having a conversation about balance and about process and standardizing so we can optimize. And there was like three or four people that pointed at Eric and said, well, you got to talk to Eric because, you know, Eric, he is dialed in with his process. And you've got four kids, ages 10 to 17. And you also spent some time playing, well, college basketball, but then pro basketball, specifically in Germany, but they all kind of pointed to you and said, Eric's got it dialed in. So I said, I want to know more about this. So today I'm excited to have Eric on because we're going to talk about a little bit about what he does in order to stay on top of his game and get it dialed in. And you said you had some, you were having success, but then you really hit some things that allowed you to have exponential growth, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So, you know, to kind of back up and give you a little more background, you know, I'm a ninja guy, right? So like when I first started, I've been to Fort Collins when I was about a year in the business, and it just was perfect for me, right? I loved all the philosophies of it. And so it was something that, and I've been to like a couple of your installations, a couple of, you know, Larry Kendall and things like that. So I've been through a lot of the training, and it's always good to get the refreshers, but, so learning the system and having things systematized is something I have to kind of discipline myself to do. Mm-hmm. And I think some of it is kind of from, you know, playing basketball and thinking, oh, I got to practice these shots, these moves, you know, and because I know where I want to go. Right. So you kind of start with that goal and then you figure out what are the things I need to do to sort of get there. Right. So I always had that part, I guess, innate in me. And I very much, it made sense that I would want to follow something like that. But specifically in the last couple of years, I'll tell you, there was a lot of stuff I learned kind of with the pandemic, just sort of being able to get really introspective and really kind of doing a deep dive and gaining a huge awareness on the internal processes that happen, like within each of us, right? Just about emotionally and, you know, spiritually or whatever. Basically where, you know, and this is kind of like probably my biggest epiphany is where I would start becoming aware of the things that were sort of dragging me down. And I would call it, and this happens a lot in our business, it's kind of like an emotional interference, right? It's like there's fears, there's, you know, negative thoughts, negative energy, you know, whatever it is, right? But a lot of times it is fear. It's like, it's fear that, you know, the market's bad, or I'm not going to be able to do this, and, or I'm not going to be able to make enough to feed my family, support my family. Or when I first hired an assistant, you know, it's like, there's this, I got to pay this person, you know, and I'm committed.
What if I can't pay him?
What if I can't pay him? Right. And so, you know, all these things, and really what they do is they get in the way of your ultimate outcome, and they're not really necessary, but we're sort of programmed and conditioned that they are, right? Yep. That it's kind of what it is. So, so that's been a huge thing for me. And it's been so, it's just been really eye-opening to uncover these things that I wasn't even aware of that I was doing. You know, I've always been a hard worker, but one thing I found is that, you know, every year when stuff would get busy, I would kind of do these crash and burn cycles.
Yep.
Right. Go, go, go. And I'm just like, and I care so much about my clients and of course my family. So that's like all my focus is like on that. I can't let things, you know, fall by the wayside. So I'm doing just kind of over the top, right? And what happens is I'm not even aware of what's being run down in my body. I think I'm just going and I'm moving and shaking and all that, but there's things that are happening and your kind of body sort of deteriorates. So I noticed every vacation I went on, I would get sick. Like I would get like a crazy, you know, cold or whatever. My body would say, oh, you're shutting down. We're going to shut you down and finally, you know, give you what
you're going to get sick. Yes.
Turning. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happened to me multiple times a year, you know, and I'm generally a healthy guy. I still play basketball. I exercise and stuff. And so I saw how that would happen. And, you know, the first thing is I was at least starting to be aware of, hey, this is happening. You know, why is that? Maybe because I'm up till 1 a.m. working on these things because I'm having this fear or this pressure that I need to get it done. And it's then therefore kind of caught, and I'm not really in tune with myself, with my body, with, you know, my intentions, the outcomes I'm looking to make happen. You know, I'm just kind of caught up in this race. And a lot of it is driven by fear.
Yep.
Right. So starting with that awareness is a huge deal.
Well, and I also say too, is that, you know, one thing I think we don't even, we're not even aware of, like you said, is that, you know, when we're running, burning the candle at both ends, that anxiety is basically building up a chemical base in our body that at some point, if we don't release it, like you said, we get sick. And you see that happen a lot in this industry is people just, and then they get sick, they don't feel well. You know, and then they have to go recover, and that recovery bites into them doing more business because now they're sick or they're you know, they're not doing their activities, they're not running their schedules, as opposed to saying, no, wait a second, let's figure out how we can release it by giving ourselves time every week. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this, but my one other question for you with that anxiety is, what were some of your, like, if you can think about it, what were some of the fears like you had where you're like, oh my gosh, this is causing me to think about this. And I call them the what ifs. Do you recall what those might be?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, and this kind of goes back to when you dive into yourself, you start uncovering things that basically are developed when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it's the two things are, I think the main one is a fear of loss. Like, you know, like of things falling apart, of a catastrophe happening. You know, and that it just, you know, things in childhood when, you know, your parents lose a house or things kind of happen and you hear these stories of, oh, we were doing so well. And then the market, you know,
yep.
and it's like things happen and we had to move and, you know, just things like that, where it's, I think I have this innate. So like that, now that can be a motivator. It can be a strong motivator, right? Like a fear of failure, especially in athletics, that's kind of there as well. But these fears, like technically they can motivate you to actually do more than you thought, because it's like, oh, I have to do this, right? If you're scared that you're, if you have like, literally, I can't make a meal happen. Well, yes. That's going to motivate you to make something happen. Now it's not a healthy thing, right? But it can be a strong motivator. So learning how to take that and say, wait a minute, I don't need to live by that. I don't even want to, I've just been doing it. So what do I actually want? You know, what do I want to be focusing on? And it's just, it's that ninja thing of, you know, what you focus on expands, yeah. But getting it at a core level to where your whole belief system is sort of restructured.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this. Do you, so you consciously check into the fear, and then do you mentally make a different thought process and a different outlook? And I call it clarity or intention, and say, yeah. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what, you know, one thing I've learned big time and is you have to kind of catch yourself in these moments, right? Yes. And this is all like, this is hard to even get on a podcast, because this is like, for me, this was like, you know, a couple years of like really focused attention to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm still noticing things all the time, right? So it's like, if you first have the awareness of it, and then then you decide you want to change how you operate because you're finding what you've been doing isn't working for you, or hasn't been serving you well for the ways you want, right? Maybe yep. In some ways it has, but in the totality, it's not. Then you have to say, okay, so what is it that I want to make happen? And I think to reprogram yourself, you have to catch them in the moment, right? So you have to say, you know, you notice something like, okay, this happened, or, you know, you get an email about a transaction and someone's terminating a sale, right? And it's like, what is your inner response, first of all? Right. Well, first of all, are you just beholden to, like, when that email pops up, you're distracted and going right to it, right? And changing your whole method of what you're doing for that time, right? That's one thing, because that just interrupts and causes all the problems for things that you had planned to do, right? Exactly. But then once you're on it, then it's kind of like, what is your internal reaction to it, and starting to notice that and learning how to shift it from a catastrophe or a problem or a negativity into the opportunity that it really is.
Right.
Right. What's the opportunity here? What do I want to make of this? And if you have that belief of, hey, you know, I'm fine no matter what, like, I'm going to be thriving and good and great no matter what, and I'm going to be open to the solutions that present themselves.
Exactly. See, when you have
the emotional interference and the processes that come in, you get those blinders on. And so you don't even see, well, what's the solution that can happen here?
Yep. And I always look back too and think, have things ever been worse? And then most of us can always figure out there's times when they've been worse. And you say, okay, I made it through that and I'm fine. So why am I worrying now?
Right.
Why don't I just let go of that worry and just go, okay, here's what I'm going to go do. And by the way, just for the listeners out there, and I just always like to throw in these little pieces because it helped me. There was a book I read called Letting Go by David Hawkins, Dr. David R. Hawkins. And it was that same type of thing. It was like, how do you just let some of those fear thoughts go? Then it's not that they leave, but you don't focus on them. And then you choose to refocus on what you can have. Like you said, what is the universe going to give me that's going to be positive?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And so tell me about this. So, you have four kids.
Yes.
And you've been doing this for a while, but you also have a high level of production. So you get your thoughts and you get the way you think about your world in order. What do you do for, like, how do you manage your time? I mean, how do you make that work so that you're not burning out?
For sure. Yeah. So, there's a couple things in there. I would start with the main focus, or the place that you need to start. And this is where you start your training programs, right? What's the first day that you talk about?
Yeah, mindset.
It's mindset, right? And I would call it a mindset or a belief system. So that's the first thing. And it starts with saying, instead of this idea, people say there's not enough time in the day, I can't do it, how can you do that? And saying there's plenty of time. I have all the time I need to do what I want for my experience of life to be what I want it to be. That's really the beginning of it, because we're taught that there's no time, I don't have time, you know, and when you believe that, then you'll find the ways to
make not it have time.
There's no time, right? I mean, right. it's kind of crazy, because when you think about it on paper, so here was my schedule, okay? I had I have two boys, then two girls, right? Mm-hmm. My boys were both playing AAU basketball. I was coaching both their teams, head coach for both of their teams, right?
Yep.
I've got a wife, obviously, that's an important relationship, two daughters that are doing gymnastics, soccer, you know, they're doing music and different things. We've got family around, I've got friends, we got church. So we have all these things, right? And it's like, I'm coaching four to five nights a week plus Saturdays.
Right. Wow.
And then obviously then I have to have the family time to just hang around and do stuff and have a full-time assistant. And enough business, you know, more business than I really need, right? But I'm still out there, and people, agents would ask, like, how do you do it? And it's like, well, first you just believe you can, and then you have to structure things so that you can achieve things in a faster way, right? In a more efficient way, a clear and a direct and efficient way. And so a lot of what I would do is I'd kind of set these. The funny thing is, it would all be kind of like mental timers in my head.
Yes.
Like, okay, I'm going to focus on this task. Here are the things first of all, I have this little book I created that is a daily list of things. And it just keeps me, I'd never go anywhere without it, right? It's pen and paper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have there on my task, I have it all there. And then I'd even have a little section where I could put the time that I was maybe going to do it. Right. One thing that I've been trying to, condition myself kind of a new habit for myself was something I heard on a ninja thing, which was a really important thing on your phone is the timer.
Yep.
Right. So setting the timer. So instead of saying, cause a lot of times I'll look and I'll say, oh, it's this time by so-and-so. I mean, that's kind of what I would do mentally, but then setting this timer is a new thing because then I get alerted and then I have to train myself. Okay. Well, I gave it that time. That's what I gave it. Now I'm moving on to the next thing. Right. And it's not to be, what it does for me is, if I have deadlines, it's like, I will cram. I was a test crammer guy, right? The test is tomorrow. I didn't study forever. Oh, I'm just going to study hard and do well on it. Right. But that comes with a level of anxiety. It comes with a level of like, you know, the clock's ticking and you got it. Right. When you set it up to me this way, when you set it up is you're just a lot, you're giving it the time that it deserves. And when you set your day up and your week and your month and every your year, it was another ninja thing is load your big rocks first, right? Put what are the main things you want to put in, and then everything fills around it instead of letting the time that you allot for going into the office just get filled up with nonsense, because it will. It can. You can start doodling and looking at this and that, and before you know it, you spent 2 hours and you didn't really accomplish anything that you set out to.
I agree with you. And I think, and there's actually, I was trying to see if I could find it, but, John Ashcroft talks about this is that, you know, the illusion of time is we'll allow time to expand, to fit whatever we've determined to be the time frame we're going to get something done.
Yep.
Give it clarity and we don't give it boundaries. Two things happen. One is time creeps. Number two is we're not really good single taskers. And I think having a timer and then saying, this is the only thing I'm doing in this time frame, really gives you focused on being really, really good at just getting, tight bubbles of focus, getting things done. So it sounds like you structure that very specifically in your day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one thing I'm working on right now. I mean, this just specifically with that timer is kind of a new thing for me this year. And I'm just really trying to implement it. And I have to catch myself and go back and say, oh yeah, where's the timer? Not in a way, because that's what I want to do. Right. And then I want to be able, because I want to be able to set those times, family dinner, going here, date night, right? Whatever you're doing, going with a kid to this, you know, the kids play, the kids, whatever, right? You set those things so that, and then you get the other stuff done so that it doesn't bleed into that. And then you're missing out on the important things in life that you want to not miss out on.
Absolutely. Well, and I think too, the other one was too, is so do you actually set time aside on the weekends to actually plan and look at your whole week?
Yes, I do. I do. I generally, so I've, and this is interesting too, because it's like everyone has a different way of doing stuff. You know, some people want to do things in the morning. I mean, I'm a very big morning person, but I actually like the day before is when, like in the evening when things are quiet and people are kind of settled, that's when I usually am starting to set out my day
right.
To begin with. And then I kind of tweak it in the morning. But what I do that for is because my mind is always racing, and if I don't put it down, it can kind of just be upstairs bouncing around, right? And that works for me. You know, to me, I say whatever works for you, for people, for anybody else, it might be different. But I like to be able to do that, and then I can kind of clear my mind and just be there in the evening, kind of relaxed, right, and not worrying and thinking about all these things or letting things creep into that time where I'm like, I got to work on this now, right? And I have to catch myself, because if I'm not aware, it's like the time thing, stuff will fill it up.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like a house. For realtors, it's the same thing with a house, right? If you give your house the space, you'll fill it with stuff, unless you give it the clear direction of what you're doing with it. So it's the same thing with the time. Yeah,
totally agree. In fact, they do. It's called the Parkinson's law. I just found it, and it says work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion, and we control that time.
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Yep. That's exactly what it's, so that is a big one. And I have another one. It kind of just popped in my head. Another, unless you want to keep going on the time thing.
No, that's fine. No, just to clarify for the listeners. So, well, the first thing we talked about is understanding your fears, right? So listening and being conscious of the fear talk in your mind. That's the what ifs, or we call catastrophizing, where we're saying, and we see this right now. There's a lot of agents that are right now that are afraid because we're going into a normal market. They've never been into one. So instead of saying, wow, I'm going to look at the opportunity for this market, they're saying, what if I don't get more business? What if this doesn't happen? And we start to forecast this negativity, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So your first statement was be aware of your fearful thoughts and change those. The second one was get really good at single tasking and working your time frames where they're doable and they're the big rocks, the big things that you know you got to get done to move you forward. So what was your next one that came to mind?
Well, this one is more of this is something I found in the marketplace and kind of in the industry, right? And what I found is that a lot of people, agents, when you're talking with each other or with clients or all that, because of this emotional interference piece, right? The fears that clients have, you know, sometimes we can take those on, or even worse, we bring it to the clients, right? The agents who are scared about the market or scared about this or that, you know, that stuff will come through. And anytime there's a lack of clarity, there's, you know, decisions aren't made, right? And when decisions aren't made, time goes by. And so things end up not happening in that time. And so what I've found is that really learning how to fine tune your communication with agents, with clients, and just being clear and direct and shifting conversations and shifting, you know, drama moments out of those kind of fear patterns or whatever the patterns they are, and back into like, hey, what's our outcome here, guys? What is it we're trying to get done?
Yep.
It's amazing how much time you can save, and then therefore how much like energy you save in yourself to do more stuff that you really want to do. I mean, it's literally, this is one of the biggest things that has upgraded my life and allowed me to, you know, to do a high number of transactions while barely working weekends, barely working nights, you know, just is basically just, you know, I mean, I even found myself, it's like, you get a text from someone and it says something and you're reading into it and you start with a reactionary text and it's like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? You know, is this clear? Is this getting to the outcome? Am I letting their emotions, their problems, their whatever they got going on in their life affect me? And then I'm just going to now transfer that to my client, or am I going to filter this and figure out how to get the best outcome for my client or for myself, right? Whatever the case is. And you can just, you kind of just cut through it all, right? And you have to sort of have that maturity, a little bit of experience to understand and identify it. But it's pretty remarkable, like how much time and energy you save. You know, you feel better, things get done quicker. And, you know, along those lines, it's like I even preface to my clients. I mean, one of the things I say to all my buyers, I say, hey, don't be surprised if we find a house quick. It happens, right? It's like, I do the process. We funnel it. We look, hey, we're going to go look for education. There's no pressure. We want to look at several homes. But the second time we go out, you know, if you're ready for it and looking at it, it'll pop up. So
exactly.
Let's get you ready for it. And then you're way more efficient with your time. Guess what? Your clients like it. They love it. You think, yep. Well, I'm not working that much, that hard, or they, you know, they don't see me out there slaving away on a Sunday afternoon, showing them 15 houses. They don't really want that. They just want to know that you're bringing value to them and you're helping them out. If you can focus again on the outcome that you're providing, everyone's happier. Everything's more efficient. You know, the relationship is there better and stronger. And, you know, and then the same thing goes with other agents. You know, you get caught in these cycles of whatever, oh my gosh, this and that and that, you know, these just talk. You have to sift through it because there's an underlying issue there. And if you get caught up and start playing that game, then your time and energy just gets sucked into that. And it's just not that fun either. Right? Let's be honest.
I totally agree. In fact, I was just, you know, the stuff you talk about, it references, reminds me, there's a gentleman, his name's Oliver Berkman. He wrote the book, The 4,000 Weeks Time Management for Mortals. But he said, there's not good or bad. There just is.
Yeah.
And it really spoke to me because I think when you think about it that way, so, you know, and you brought it up, you know, agents today, you can really see them, how they can create drama with their clients. They can create scenarios because of their perspective. And instead of assuming anything, right? Instead of assuming it's a bad market, it's a good market, or this is a good time or a bad time, you just say, it just is. But the real question is, what do you want to do? And let's figure out what you want to do and how I'm going to help you get there. And let's reduce the drama and the fear. And let's just work towards getting that done and give you great clarity and be really focused on what we're trying to accomplish. And also throw some stuff out there that, like you said, hey, don't be surprised if we don't find a house quickly. And people say, well, how could that happen? It's not a market for that. It is a market for that if that's what you choose to see.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. You're exactly right. Those are all spot on.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you know, what you think about is what you will see. And so if you see this inability to move forward, an inability to have this, inability to have that, well, that's what you're going to see. Or you can see the ability to move forward, and that's what you're going to see. But I think that you make a great point. I don't know how many agents are consciously aware in the moment of just how they're building those perceptions for their clients.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. And this is this market is a great example of it, because there is some fear out there, right? And a lot of it's pushed by different sources, for maybe intentionally, maybe not, but it's a lot of it, I think, is unintentional. Just it's when people talk and say stuff, and then an agent's repeat it, or they think it, they talk about it, it gets to the clients, right? People kind of talk about things, right? And so when that's out there, then we have to learn how to shift it. And it's not because we're trying to like manipulate the market. We're just literally saying, I mean, it's like, look, I've never had a client who bought a house they love that regretted their decision.
Right.
It's like, it's never happened. And it generally doesn't happen. You mean, if they're not buying something they can afford, maybe that's one thing, but you know, if they're within their affordability, and now is the time where it's like, you can focus on, you don't have to rush and make an offer in an hour. You can maybe wait a day or two or three or see what happens. Right. But it's when, if you're not identifying that the clients are living in fear of overpaying or fear of whatever it is, or something better is coming along, right?
Yep.
You have to learn how to identify those things. And when you have experience, when you work with enough people, and if you're aware of identifying it, you can identify pretty fast, right? And then you can again say, well, what's, you know, are you looking for something to make money on? Because that's a different type of house we're going to look at.
Exactly.
Right. Versus you're looking for something to raise the family in for the next 10, 15 years. This exactly. is a great opportunity for that. All you really need to do is have clarity. And then it may take time for the right house to pop up, but that's what will take the time. Not that you need to look at 80 houses and be back and forth and, you know, not knowing what's, you know, what your decision's going to be, or, you know what I mean? That's all unclarity. And that's just letting them run their system in the market instead of you as the professional saying, hey, here's my system. This works. This gets proven results. It gets happy clients who love their homes. You know, how about let's go work on this together.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. So for our listeners, kind of like, to kind of like put a, put this in kind of a nutshell form, what was it for you, right, where you decided, okay, this is going to work for me? I mean, what was the impetus for you to say, okay, I really want to dial in my thoughts, I really want to dial in my time frame, and I really want to dial in the message or the story that I'm going to choose to tell to my clients? And you said as about 2 years ago is when you really started making it work and you saw exponential growth. What caused you to need to do that? Was it because you were feeling the burnout, or you just were feeling like,
yeah,
you were burning candles?
No, I think it was absolutely that. It was sort of a health and well-being situation, right? Where I was producing, I was doing well. I mean, I had a full-time assistant, had everything running and moving well, but there was just pieces of the burnout that were happening. And there's pieces of just the relationships of, and this is some of the stuff that kind of COVID brought some clarity on, when you have time to kind of sit back and say, am I hanging out with my good buddies as much as I want? Am I intentional with my kids like I want? And am I bringing the emotional baggage of my clients to my house and creating an environment that they want to be around and that I want to be around, right? What is it effect is having there? And I think some of it was just even with my wife, she went through a lot of clarity moments here. And so we kind of went through this stuff together, like, hey, is this working for you? Nah, I mean, some of it's great, but man, other things aren't working great. And exactly. I want to upgrade this, right? I want to feel better. I want to enjoy. And that sometimes happens too, when your kids start getting older, right? I've got a 17-year-old, a couple of years ago, 15, and you're just kind of thinking bigger picture. But again, when you have that emotional interference and you're not seeing things, right, you're just kind of stuck in the moment. One of the best things to do is to just take that time. I mean, it's worth the time and the attention to just step back and say, hey, is this working for me? Is this serving me? You know, you don't have to do 100 transactions a year to enjoy your life. It's not, everyone has a different set of goals, but I think most people want to love what they're doing, love their life, you know, enjoy their experience every day. And so I think it was seeing symptoms of stuff that wasn't working and wasn't serving me,
yep,
you know, creep in, and just deciding and getting some help with, like, oh, hey, these are things that I really want to shift. So let's get the expertise, seek out the resources, seek out the references, the books, you know, podcasts, whatever you can to just find ways to upgrade that. And really it was just making that introspective look and then deciding, hey, this is something I'm really going to upgrade, and I'm going to just make that happen.
Are there any specific tools or information that you found really useful that the listeners would benefit from?
So, there's a couple of books. You know, it's funny. I used to be such a big reader. I do a lot of podcasts when I'm driving around, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But this one, it honestly, this doesn't even have anything to do with like time or whatever, but it's a book. Have you read The Four Agreements?
Yes, it's a great book.
Great book. Okay. That was one of those books that I was like, man, this just like, it just pairs it all back and yeah. dials into to like
simplicity.
Hey, and simplicity. Don't make assumptions, right? You know, like don't yeah. assume all these things about other people. Just those kind of these, it's very simple stuff. And those are things to implement. There's a lady that my my wife is actually working with now. Her name's Dr. Tracy Thomas. She has a book called The Method, and this is kind of it's like the core of what I worked with. It's all about this emotional emotional intelligence, for lack of a better term, I would say, but just recognizing these patterns and then being able to learn how to shift them into create the experience that you want in your yep. life. Right. So having the awareness of it. Those are a couple of resources there. And then just, you know, obviously Ninja stuff is great. I'm open to kind of anything, you know, having that curiosity and opening that back up for me has been great, just because I'm open to like learning about this thing about the timer that I heard, you know, 3 months ago. I'm like,
yep,
gosh, you know, and if I'm closed off to expanding and learning, I'm not even going to be aware of that or open to receiving that. So I'd say that's one of the biggest things, is be open to getting to receiving those things, and then you're kind of looking for it and you'll find them.
Absolutely. And for the listeners out there, just if you're curious, you heard Eric mention the book, The Four Agreements. Just if you're wondering what those are, the four agreements are real simple. It's be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally, which I love that one. Yeah. Don't make assumptions. That's another one that we kind of talked about. And then always do your best. And I think you're right. The book breaks it down really in a very digestible way for you to kind of take that and be conscious of your life and say, okay, you know, how does that impact me? And I think the key that I hear with you really is one is realizing, hey, is what's going on for you? Is it working for you both in work and in life? Because I think the goal for us when we do Ninja is to have great work-life balance. Yeah. Also, how are you positively impacting or negatively impacting the people around you, mainly your family, your kids, the environment you're creating?
Yeah.
And then are you being intentional daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly with your time and doing the big things that you know are going to move you forward? And are you putting a method or a system in place so that you can make that repeatable? Because that's the other key, is that if it's not repeatable, it's hard to do it consistently.
That's correct. Yeah, because you want it to be repeatable, because really the goal is that it becomes habitual.
Yep.
Where you don't even think about it. You know, you get up in the morning and you do your routine without having to force yourself. At the beginning, you have to. That's the hard part, right? That's the hardest part, is getting to the point where it becomes natural and habitual without even thinking about it, or it has to be a difficult thing, right? So all the things that you do that are, and again, you want to think about, well, what is serving? You don't just do them to do them. You want to do them with a purpose.
Right.
But all those things you just said, that's a really good summary of kind of a lot of my thoughts and what's been working for me lately.
That's awesome. Hey, and Eric, if someone wanted to reach out, just to kind of dial in more about your production and how you manage your time, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They could. That's a good question. They could shoot me an email.
Okay.
My email is it's Eric with a K, so Erik, and then D as in David, realestate@gmail.com.
Eric D at real estate.
Yeah. Eric D real estate@gmail.com.
Got it. Okay.
And you know, my website too, you can check out my website, which is really geared toward someone who gets referred me business and wants to look me up and says, you know, hey, what's this guy all about? That's really what it's kind of geared to right now, but it's just ericdordal.com. So ericdordal.com.
Perfect. And I'll put that in the show notes too. And then we mentioned some books. I'll drop some of those books into the show notes just to let everybody know a couple of the books we talked about. I spoke about the book by called Letting Go by David Hawkins. I talked about Deep Work by Cal Newport, and then 4,000 Weeks, and then with the Four Agreements. And then you said Method, and the author of Method is, who's that?
The Method is Dr. Tracy Thomas.
Tracy Thomas. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, hey, Eric, I want to thank you for taking the time today. I appreciate it. And like I said, a fellow ninja, right?
Yep, absolutely, through and through.
And somebody who has a busy life, obviously, four kids, and doing all that stuff that you're doing, and you're having work-life balance because of it. So thank you for being on today. And for our listeners, I want to thank you for listening today. If you found the stuff we do interesting, please feel free to share it. Also, if you have things that you want us to talk about, or you actually feel like you could be on our podcast because you've got some great things to talk about, reach out to me directly at fanny@winrymer.com. And Eric, any last words you have for our listeners?
No, I'd just say, you know, thanks for having me on. And I would say just, let's create the market, the environment that we want out there, right? Let's be positive ambassadors for one of the most important decisions that people are making in their life, and just be good people out there, and it comes back to you, and you know, it comes back to you tenfold.
Exactly. The universe wants you to win.
For sure. Absolutely.
Well, hey, everyone, I want to thank you for listening. Like we always end these, be awesome and help somebody and make it a great day. Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to our Windermere Coaching Minute. We hope you found this content helpful. If you did, please feel free to share it and give us a rating. And we'll always end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody, and make it a great day.